first. And God blessed them. And God blessed them. Everybody said that. Whew, that sounded good. He didn't turn them loose without help. They left well fortified. They left well able. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the sea, over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Thank you very much, and please be seated. I'm going to attempt, by the help of the Holy Ghost, to give you some ideas and information that will help make your life easier. I feel like that I'm a different man than I was the last time I gathered with a brother. I've had a breakthrough in my life. I learned to pray. And I'm profoundly ashamed that I was 28 years preaching before I learned what I learned. Desperately ashamed of that. But I have learned to know the Lord in a new dimension. That means that what I say to the heavy bulk of you will be old hat. But it's just new to me. And if I seem to be excited about what I have to say, I just, I just forget it. You know, you've been knowing that a long, long time. I'm well aware of that. But so help me, God. The Lord has been so good to me. Oh, I prayed, you know, before I learned to touch it. And I got things out of it. I won victories and was able to keep saved and help save a few more along the way. But you know, you can take a good crumb of cake and rub it in a dead man's mouth and he'll get a little of it. And I suppose that's about what I was getting out of prayer. I got a few delicious crumbs. But I have discovered what you have always known, that there's always a way to touch God. It's fresh in my mind today that prayer is not meant to be a recitation. Too many, it is a recitation. We teach prayers. There are prayer books. Much of the liturgy of the Roman Church is repeated recitations of prayer. And Jesus clearly warned against that. He said that the heathen thinks that he shall be heard by his much speaking. And prayer is not something merely to be heard. We should not rest well when we have merely been heard. Prayer is a visit with the Almighty God. And prayer, its chief benefit is not to be heard of men. I prayed that way, much to my chagrin. I have prayed to be heard of men. I had somewhat of a reputation as a young preacher that I spent hours of prayer. I knew that if I prayed, I was doing my duty. I knew that I'd come nearer being a blessing than any other way. I knew that there was so much carnality connected with me that if I did not pray often, earnestly, and long, that I wouldn't be any good. And so I prayed. But the chief benefit probably that I got was that I was heard of men. When the pastors came to the church at most any hour of the day, I was at prayer. And that helped me. In that it gave me credibility. People believed in any man that prays, whether he prays poorly or well. And when people believed in me, then they opened their hearts and their ears to me, and what I had, all that I had that was any good was the Word of God. And what I gave the people out of the Word of God benefited them. But that's the reason the Pharisees prayed, too, to be heard of men. And that's no small game, to be heard of men. People love you for it. your saints will regard you and love you if you pray. And they perhaps will despise you if you don't. And perhaps they'll gain the upper hand over you if you don't. And congregations can tell whether or not one is praying. There are very viable benefits to be gained to be heard of men. And that men hear about you that you pray. But thanks to the living God, there are better reasons to pray than that. That is, that having a personal audience to sit down with Jesus Christ and sup with him and him with you, you pass in the French fries and you pass you the biscuits, and you visit and you talk, is immensely more than what I had known. He said, when you pray, be not as the hypocrites are, who love to stand on the street corners to pray that they may be heard of men. Or he said, they've got all they've got coming. They have had their reward. That is to say, that kind of praying that gets you a reputation among apostolics, it's not really long lasting. And then he said, they even think by his much repetition. And I was guilty of that. Much of my praying was glory, 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 hallelujah, praise the Lord, while I was feeling hate. In my mind, I was feeling hate. I was at the church praying. And lots of hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God, amen. You know, it's probably of little more value than a heathen saying, Tecumseh, Tecumseh, Tecumseh. Oh, I don't know. But I have learned so many of my errors. I'm ashamed to stand in front of my family, in front of my church, and certainly in front of you. But it's blessed me that I've made those progress. And I'm still growing. And I want to talk to you today about an element of prayer that can help make life so much easier. I have written up here the ideas of control, management, rule, leadership, solution, dominion, oversight, and decree. I want to point out to you that we are either controllers or we are controlled. We either rule or we are ruled. We either take the oversight or we just ride whatever horse comes out of the chute. And some of them big yellow ones are bad, brother. I saw a little booklet the other day in a bookstore that said, had a little goofy cover on it, a little goofy drawing on it. It said, "Won't we lead when I follow?" "Why don't we follow when I lead?" That was the title of the booklet, "Why Don't We Follow When I Lead?" And we are always looking for solutions. We often wish that things would just work out. That's a poor way to get it, just wishing that it would. Now, in this verse that I read for text, and you could use 100 just as easily and just as properly, but this word was in there, take dominion. I don't believe God meant for us to be heath weeds, tumbleweeds, just blown by, moved around by every wind that blows. But when God put his creation in the garden, he put Adam and Eve in there to multiply, to be fruitful, to replenish the earth, and to subdue it, to take away its ability to resist, to take away the ability of things and places and people and principalities to resist us, to subdue it, to take dominion over our world. Dominion means uncontested authority. Nobody's arguing that you can't. It's part of my philosophy as a person and as a preacher, what was said in Ecclesiastes 1:1, it said, "I, Solomon, the preacher, was king in Jerusalem." Don't believe you can be a preacher without being king. You can easily be a hireling, and you can easily be a paid public speaker. And you can be a counselor that people will drag your life out of. But you won't be a successful preacher until you in your mind have a coronation. You're king. Now I want to talk about some of these things. I'd like some reading help in St. Mark chapter 11, verse 12 and 13. Who will help me read that? Maybe a variety of brethren will help me. Brother Candace, thank you, kind sir. Mark chapter 11, verses 12 and 13. Now, there's so much to say about this. I hardly know where to begin. I'm just praying, struggling in my heart to be able to get to it, to a place that you could get some of the benefit that I have. Of course, in your case, it would just be me reminding you what you already have known and lived by. But in my case, I'm just tickled to death with it. I've learned it. And as Brother Davis said yesterday, I'm trying to believe what I preach. I can't, honest to God, before heaven tell you I believe all I'm going to say because I don't fully understand. I've said that, you have too, with our jerks that say, I believe the whole Bible. You're a fool and a liar too. You don't even know what all the Bible says. You know you don't believe it all. But what we mean is, to the best of our mental ability, we accept what has been presented to us. We don't doubt that it is so. But it's like an old lady from Noble, Louisiana, a little old small town. Her son-in-law brought her down to Sabine Pass and showed her the Gulf of Mexico, and she quietly began to weep. She said, that's the first thing I ever saw that it was a myth of. And so she went away, and on the back of a little postcard, she wrote back to the grandkids, she says, I have seen the Gulf of Mexico. In reality, she saw 500,000 or 1,500 acres of it. But she had not seen the Gulf of Mexico. And when I have said that I've learned to touch the Lord, now what I mean is that I stood on at Sabine Pass and took a look. I took a look. You know, that's all that means. And when a man says he knows God, well, that's what he's talking about. He means he's seen a flash somewhere, and he heard a little thunder roll. He knows something about God. And St. Mark, this is the teaching of Jesus Christ that is true. It will help you gain control. It will help you manage sticky, miserable, mean situations that threaten you. It will help you rule what you must either ride or be stumped. It will help you have the leadership that will cause people to follow you to God. It will be the solution to problems that will threaten to drown you, and it will give you hands-down dominion over what's standing in your way, doing God's will for your life. St. Mark 11.
And on the morrow, as they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if happened he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time of fish is not yet.
One more.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard him.
He came to the fig tree and said to it, No man eat fruit of thee forever. I don't know how loud he said that. I don't know whether he was red in the face, nor whether he stumped. Stomp right foot or left or jump flat footed or what. He just said to the fig tree, No man henceforth eat fruit of thee. He did not anoint it with oil. He didn't play the organ. He didn't march around it seven times, but he said to it. Jesus was God, you know. And he was God. He was Lord and Christ. He's entered into his glory, hasn't he? He has a name above every name. He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they are. He came to that tree and said that. Now then, reading down the consequence in verse 22, 23, and 24, Elder.
And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God.
Oh, have faith in God. All right.
For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain,
that whosoever shall say unto this mountain,
be thou removed.
Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed.
Be thou cast into the sea.
Be thou cast into the sea.
And shall not doubt in his heart.
And shall not doubt in his heart.
But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass.
But shall believe that those things which he saith
shall come to pass.
But shall believe that those things which he saith. Now, after me, repeat this. I say stuff.
Yes.
Come on.
I say stuff.
Yeah, I say stuff. If you doubt not in your heart, but will believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. What?
He shall have whatsoever he says.
He shall have. I'm a haver. You say that. He shall have whatsoever he saith. The title of the subject today is Talk Your Way Out of Trouble. Talk Your Way Out of Trouble. You did it with the highway patrol, now do it with the church. Talk your way out of trouble. Jesus said this, the works that I do shall ye do, and greater, because I go away. What is God's way of getting control? What's God's way of managing matters? What's God's way of taking the rule? What is God's way of exhibiting leadership? What is his solution? How does he get his dominion? How does he take the oversight? God said, let there be light. And there was light. He talked his way out of darkness. He said, let there be light. And there was light. The works that I do shall be. He said to that fig tree, henceforth let no man eat fruit from you again. And never again did this. Did we read that 22nd, 23rd, 24th verse? We didn't get that far, did we? All right, read on.
Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them, and you shall have them.
I'm a water.
I'm a water.
Come on.
I'm a water.
You'll get stuff if you can want. If you'll put up the desire, God will put up the cash. Whatsoever things you desire, oh, you've got to have a tiger heart to want. You've got to have an appetite like a lion. But if you can get the wants, you can have the gift, the gifts. You can obtain the promises if you want good enough. And if you can believe that whatsoever thing you say will come to pass, and doubt not in your heart, you'll have it. Now, the world operates by control. The world recognizes, I'm not talking about that sinning population that put Christ to death. I'm talking about the creation. When I say the world, I mean God's creation. It recognizes rule. It yields to performance. It yields to authority. One man said, I, being a man of authority, I say to one, go, he goes. You do too. You've lived in a permissive society all your life. You ask for oatmeal. You ask for a dime to get a construction paper for school. You ask for 4 bits to get a composition book. You know you did. You asked to go to the pencil shop. You asked to go out and dust the erasers. And that guy was out there mowing his yard, and four fellas came by, and Carl and Rodney were hanging out in the back. He said, hey, the bass are striking. Come go fishing with me. He cut his line off and said, well, wait, let me go tell my wife going to go. We live in a permissive society. You do too, I do. There, we live in parallels. And whoever can coagulate these parallels and get them going in the will of God and by the Spirit of God can have what he needs. If he can believe in his heart and doubt not that the things he says will come to pass. You've got to learn how to say it. Had a freshman working for me helping me put down my septic tank lines, steel lines, when I was building my house. And a friend of mine, a contractor, sent him out there on a fine backhoe and it was a terrible storm about to break, and we'd had so much rain that year, it just looked like we could get nothing done. But this day we had all the shell in, had the field lines in, and we just had a little bit more to go, and we had a little bit more to dig. And old Clarence was up there operating that deal, and pow! He broke this boom on the back of the tractor. He climbed off that thing, took that diesel motor off. He said, "Ah, man," he said, "that thing." He said, "I done know I broke that thing four times and maybe three." See the way he said it. No, he broke it four times and maybe three. You ain't had no life when you passed the cages, huh? Praise God, that's the best people in the world. Me too, boy. Let's leave after this. Praise the Lord. You gotta learn how to say it. He said to that mountain, "Be thou removed." Brother, that just absolutely tormented my mind for years. I just couldn't get consistent with scholarship and what he said, that you can move a mountain. You know, somewhere there's got to be some reality about this whole business.
Yeah.
And it takes Caterpillar and John Deere and Addis Chalmers to move mountains, where I come from. And dynamite. But Jesus Christ said, and I don't believe he meant to be facetious nor comical, nor I don't believe he was laying himself wide open for attack for some scholars to read. I believe he knew exactly what he's talking about. He said, "If you say to that mountain that's in your way and I'm messing with you and I'm bothering you and I'm aggravating you, get up! And don't get on Mr. Jones' land, he's going to pass all of you. Be thou cast into yonder sea. Freight bill will be mighty high, but get going. Be thou removed, and be thou cast into that sea." He said it'd go. I always thought that somewhere in the Bible, if there was a precept or an idea, there was also an example of what that meant. I still believe that. I believe that the Scriptures really teach that men doing the will of God who find an unnecessary obstacle that's bothering them, I believe they can take dominion over and move a mountain. Literally, I believe you can move a mountain. That's a goofy little jerky joke where people tell about a lady kneeling down and looking out the window praying for a mountain and didn't move. She said, "That's just what I thought." That may be a sly way of passing over that whole passage of Scripture. I'm telling you, Jesus meant that if you were in His place and in His stead, authorized and decreed to do His work in His absence, He meant you got a mountain that needs to be moved, move it. Now, Joshua didn't have no Holy Ghost. He never even went to Sunday school a day in his life. That's right. Not phenomenal, but it's right. He never went to Sunday school in his life. Neither did Peter. But Joshua, one day when they were, the Gibeonites, you know, they lived in a royal city, a great city, the Bible said. And they came and made peace with Joshua. And so the Amorite kings around that city, they got real disturbed about it. And they said, "Well, they surrendered. They've made a covenant with them. We're going to go over and wipe Gibeon out." And so the people of Gibeon sent to Joshua and said, "Hurry, we are your servants. You made a covenant to defend us. And now the kings of the Amorites have come. We need help pronto." And so Joshua got there. And the Bible, the Lord said, "I'm going to give you victory. I'm going to do that. I'm going to give you the victory." And Joshua believed God. He knew victory was in the Father. And so when he got there, the people of the Lord began to fight against the Amalekites. And that pleased God very well. But one of the commanders that I see came to Joshua and said, "Look, Joshua, we could do so much better if we could keep after them today. Today is our day. They're on the run. They're on the run. But it's going to be dark here, Britain. And I'll tell you what, if we just had sunlight a little while longer,
We've never had such an easy day. God was talking. He's a dropping hailstones on that we ain't saving all the ammunition. We're winning hands down. If we could get a little help, Joshua said, what you need is a day like. God bless your heart, Brother Lehman. If you want daylight, you stay close to your preacher. If you want to live a good day and keep on succeeding and keep on being blessed, what you need in your life is daylight. Let that good pastor guide and manage and rule and give you the solution and take dominion and show you leadership in Jesus' name. You'll know real victory. Well, God, you'll know victory if you can cause him to give you a little more daylight. That's what he needed was daylight. God, that's what we need today. That's what the AMF is supplying daylight. Pull the curtains back. Let God let the daylight shine. That's what this is all about. We're daylight distributors. Well, what do you need? He said, well, if we could just have a little more of today. We're winning today. So he just reached up and said, son, stand still over Gideon. And moon, you stand still over the valley of Adullam. And the word of God said in the 13th verse that the sun stood still over that town for about a day, and the moon stayed in the valley of Adullam. Okay. Somebody said, how you gonna move a mountain? The moon was bigger than the mountain. And he done it. He stopped it right out over center field in midair till the man could get around the home. He done it. I believe in prayer, praise God. I believe that the world yet can be moved by prayer. I believe whatever's in your way of revival and victory and healing and deliverance, I believe whatever's got you bound up and stopped and just turning can be removed. Yes, I believe all Jesus' name. Hop your way out of it, boy. Squawk and flap your wings and scratch with your toes, but hop your way out of it. You can get up and get away and get over it. God's will and God's word is that you should be the head, not the tail. That you should be above, not beneath in the fight. His will is that you should land unto many nations and bar them up. I believe being desperate. I've been down, now I've been up. And if you're down and you've never been up, don't kick it till you try.
Yeah.
It's better to be above.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. I'm far away from Jesus.
Hallelujah. Let's go back and get it again. And Adam and Eve were in the garden. God said, look, don't you have dominion here? They didn't have to go to a ticket counter and check out for a permit to go look at the lines. You guys that go over here in the line country safari, they're going to tell you 12 times, don't even break your windows. And some of them mean what they tell you. The day after I left there, back in December, a woman went out there to raise one up and threw some horse meat out, and they all got killed, huh? I don't know what I said that for. Something. Oh, I know what I said. He didn't have to go check in, get a little yellow shirt to go look at the line. You know, if you're a pastor, you don't have to have a big announcement up there that I am pastor. You know, you got to be it in your own mind first. If you don't get your vote, you sure ain't gonna get that old long tongue woman. You take that old Tennessee farm boy that when he comes in, he kicks that old yellow turd out home to the fence, jerks that screen door down. He don't need to tell nobody he's dead. He just goes in, expects it to be two pans of biscuits and a bowl of buttermilk there waiting on him. But I tell you what, you got to know it for yourself before others know it.
All right.
But he said that if you say in your heart and doubt not, you got any mountains that are disturbing you in your life? You know, children are giving you trouble now. Can you, by grace and by faith and by imagination, can you advance your life suddenly 7 years ahead from that? Children are giving you a lot of trouble right now. May write you back from the penitentiary in 7 years from now. I hear lots of mothers were places where I go just quietly slip up after most of the crowd going to remember to pray for my son in the penitentiary. Raised in the Sunday school and young people's department. He's in the penitentiary. You got problems in the home, the youngins? You can stop that business. I'm telling you, if a woman in the home will recognize and receive and accept her office, she's got no problem. Paul said that the younger women ought to marry. Guide the house. Give none occasion for evil. Unless God just showed He gave you the Holy Ghost and gave you a husband, He also appointed you to be the guide. They go where you go. They'll believe what you believe. They'll reach the depth of dedication and consecration you've got if you can accept that in your heart, that God's will is that you marry and bear children, and guide the house, and give no occasion for evil. There's no need in a woman being a whipping post caught between her husband and between her kids. Bless God, you just straighten your little old chin up and get your teeth down on it and said, look, you big old teenage boy, I'm God. But you got to give yourself the first vote. You got to win the first primary if you're going to get elected. You got to have it in your heart that God Almighty, the same God that made the heavens and the earth, and authorized Peter to preach, has authorized me to be the guide here. And if I want this thing to go up towards Calvary, it's going up towards Calvary. I was preaching for a limited brother, a blessed man, one Sunday morning. It was a big city and a large, successful church. And a new lady came in the revival. It was getting late in the revival, several weeks old, and this new lady came in. And we were really prospect conscious. I'm telling you, we were dragging the net. Everything we could try to get saved. This new lady came in. I happened to be standing by the pastor back to back door when she came by, and he didn't hardly pay her no mind. First time she had been there. She had $2 with very short dresses on, very sultry, very seductive looking girls. But the woman looked about tired, you know. So on the way out to lunch, I said, who was that lady that came in there with those unsaved teenage daughters there? I said, boy, that'd be three more if we could get them in. He said, she's a joke. I said, oh, you know her. No, I ain't never seen her before. Oh, he's such a mild mannered, such a fully developed Christian man. I stepped back, and well, I didn't step back, but in my mind, I thought, well, what is he? I better learn this. I didn't say any more, and I thought he'd make another remark. He did. He said it in my mind. He said, preacher, any woman that don't have her teenage daughters up to her bosom, close to them and in the church, there's nothing to her. That's one lesson I learned that's still right. If the home don't go right, the mother's not right. If there's fighting in the home, there's something wrong with the mother because she does not have a quiet and a peaceable spirit, which is in the sight of God a great prophet. And meek and a quiet spirit. You know, if I would be a woman, I wouldn't put up with what women put up with in Pentecost.
Right.
Kids are ragging you to death. Mama, everybody else's mama lets them go over your nose. I don't say, what's that? Oh, you know what I do? I said, you're not going. If I get the first primary, I'll get to the convention and I'll win. I got to believe that my place and my position because of Calvary. I tell you, it goes back to Calvary. He said it's finished. You don't need nothing that's not in Jesus Christ. I read it today. He said, all things are yours. I'm sorry, tell you how to get it now. It's yours. Now, we're going to take delivery of it. It's yours. You don't have to put up that kind of mess.
Right.
Women with unsaved husbands, you don't have to have that. You're the guy in there, man. The Bible said, Peter said, that even those men who don't never come to hear the gospel, they can be converted without the word of God. By your chaste behavior. Father, let me tell you to stay renewed and filled with the Holy Ghost, but more importantly, to believe in yourself in the position God gave you. You can meet them out of age, you can get them saved. You can have a saved companion and a Christian home. You can do it. You can do it. Oh, you can do it. Look at the situation of the classroom of little children. There are some women that are just, they can't have little children. They just work them to death. They leave that classroom at 3:30 in the afternoon, going home, looking for a beer. My God, what I had. Those huge, terrible six-year-old kids, they just drove me to the lounge. Well, I know Steamboat Smith didn't let nobody drive her to the lounge. Emmeline Smith was her name, but we call her Steamboat. Not in her presence, please understand. She had a small mustache. Job 22. I'm just telling you, a lot of things we accept don't have to be that way.
Yes. Thou shalt make thy prayer.
Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him.
He shall hear thee.
Everybody said, God hears me when I pray.
God hears me when I pray.
What if the devil told you just lied? You didn't. He lied.
Right.
You ain't lying when you're repeating holy statements. But that! The devil's a liar when he tells you that you don't know how to pray and you can't pray and you can't touch God. He's a liar from the beginning. That verse says that when you pray to God, he'll hear you and your prayer will be accepted. That's settled. Read it again, Elder.
Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee.
Ooh, Lord. Go ahead.
Thou shalt pay thy vow.
Yes.
Thou shalt also decree a thing.
Thou? Who is that? All the vows. Hold up your right hand. I just want to see if you're listening, buddy, but you weren't. He said, thou shalt decree a thing. Now let's see all the vows. Who's God's word talking to you? You are. Wave it to me a little bit, would you? Okay, we're talking about you. Thou shalt decree a thing, and
it shall be established unto thee.
And it shall be established unto thee. Could that be any better? Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. This is the result of a prayer life. Thou shalt call unto God, and he'll hear you, and you'll pay your vows. And then he says, he authorizes you, he deputizes you, he commissions you to decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you. You can talk your way out of trouble, and you can talk your way into a dozen heads. You'll be judged by the very words of your mouth, Jesus said. Anybody here with me? You believe in this? The old country boy, brush all the preacher like me, needs a little help. That's y'all ought to kind of grumble and moan a little, shout and talk once in a while. I'm telling you, you can talk your way out.
If you don't pop in your heart and a heart filled with the Holy Ghost, ought not to die.
Oh, that's not a faith of sin. I'm telling you. You can pass out orders, and it'll be done. That man of authority said, I say to one, go, to go. Said another, stay, he stays. We're all permissive. We live in a permissive society. You ask permission. People ask your permission. It's that way. The world responds. Well, one man said that the world moves aside for the man who knows where he's going. The truth is, we all go with it.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to follow philosophy of the bumper sticker, don't follow me, I'm lost too. Who wants to go where they're lost? You want to be sure. You want to follow someone with surety. You owe it to your saints to be sure. To be fully established in your own mind. To waver not. He said to tell the wavering man that he shall receive nothing from the Lord. God don't work in a wishy-washy mouth. But in a heart that believes God's word. Boy, I'll never forget what you preached last night, Elder, about holding that book. Did he preach? Go hold on to the truth, because we're going to come there, praise the Lord. He said, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you. Decree, Elder. Find it in the book. While you're holding there, let's skip on down here to Luke 2 and 1. And 3. Now, let me go back over this. Who are you? All of you are meant to be kings over your life. The man who rules his own spirit is highly complimented in the Word of God. Adam and Eve in the garden had dominion. They were to subdue whatever might oppose them. When Adam wanted to see the lions, he didn't need no little yellow paper. He just went out here and said, they were of him. Nice boy. After he got through with him, told you to stay dry, he was around, he'd get gone. Hey, if you want to see another, if you want to see a giraffe, you say, Caesar! And here came Caesar. He subdued them. James said that everything among animal kingdom had been subdued. Somewhere, somebody trained monkeys to ride unicycles and jump off a settling ponies and get on another one. But he said it's the tongue, he said, that wasn't to be subdued. I'm telling you that the world is subduable. Your problems are solvable. The things that keep you from doing the will of God can be melted. They can be moved. They can be removed. Come on, believe God's word. Don't worry about whatever's holding you back. That's God. When you see the devil, just jerk his old beard open and then go, oh. Give it to him, young yellow boy. God don't mean for his people to be run down and defeated and discouraged. He didn't give us a spirit of confusion to say, oh, I don't know how to get out of this problem. That's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is a clear, sound mind. Hallelujah. Don't worry about it. You're going to come out on top. The Lord is your blessing. Let Israel say, the Lord is our helper. Watch the moving amount. Look, they told me in the geography books at school that if you put a BB right here and put a dinner plate right there, the BB represents the earth and the dinner plate represents the sun in terms of dimensions. You see this BB here? Well, if you took some kind of powerful instrument, raised a little old small temple on that BB, you say, oh, I got me a mountain there. But what is that little temple on a BB compared to the sun? Somebody said, oh, you don't really, literally, actually mean a move a mountain. Yeah, I mean move a mountain. That's no trick. This guy didn't have the Holy Ghost in there with Sunday school. Did he? Right. He said, stand still, son, right over Gideon. And when the moon thought he was going to go ahead and just turn around and give her a go, she said, you stand still in the valley of Adjutant. And it did. Look at here, what's bigger? Is the BB or the dinner plate bigger? But the sun compared to the size of the earth, I don't know how, maybe it's like a washbucket or something.
washpan or wash tub compared to this. You know what's better? Don't let your faith be bothered about a mere amount. When Joshua stopped the sun and the moon together, that's not fiction. That's not a parable. That's the truth. You can read a mountain and put it where you want it. Why, them Russians can put it down on the ground, and the Americans can put it down in the sea. God, who lives ever, who governs, who rules, who has given to us dominion. You know, you see people get all shook up about somebody in the church. Oh, my God. Somebody said here yesterday, somebody was doing something in the church and didn't need to pay tithes. I don't believe it's right to let them be a janitor if you don't call God. I don't believe it's right to say they got the Holy Ghost. I don't believe they're going to heaven. I don't believe that's about them. Oh, look what they'll do. Just look at the power of the church. That's not what Adam and Eve said. Adam and Eve never hovered over beside a tree one day and said, Adam walked through that garden, all those blinds are just little crazy. Now, imagine when Sister Eve came by, they did more. Because they knew they were to be forgiven, they were under hearts. He said, when I say the word, no, he told. And I'm telling you, everything that you've lost in the power of Jesus regaining the power, everything they lost, the federal head of our race, we won and gave us back that power. He finished it all. It is complete. There is nothing that can be added to it. Are this people good?
Decree
and
official order.
This is not funny, but stuff and this and that. An official order, all right?
Decision.
An A or a decision.
As a church or a government.
Anything settled and unchangeable. That's what it's got to be. Anything settled and unchangeable.
To order.
To order. Everybody say I'm order you. Except everybody quite. You will not confess your order giver. Be honest enough to confess it to your order taker. I'm the order giver. I'm the order. I need it.
I
make it
to
you.
I make it
to you. All right, but that is not the truth of Luke 2 and 1.
And it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus.
Oh, who's that? Come on. some old baby shows, isn't he? You said God! You like these old buses? He's a cut. He's dead, he's gone, his memory just written in books. But God needs it! And we are sons of God! Just a little lower than anything. Little Lord Andrew. My mother said, here for me. After his things, doing his will, committed to the cause of his kingdom, committed to righteousness and godliness in his present life. That's who we are. Through him. Come on, do it again. Yeah, that's the way it is. Caesar Augustus, through him. Okay, we don't.
And this passion was first made when Salmius was governor of Syria, and all went to be back, everyone went to the most.
He sent out a decree that the whole world should be sent. And they all sent. If they don't send you, here comes a little old woman. They all come when you put a decree out. I don't tell you, friend, if the time for a man's wife to be delivered was right now, she's got no business coming to Chicago or to Miami. And the distance thing was more difficult to travel than that. It only got me just get on a plane and come down here. But she'd say, no, I believe I'm going to stay around the house. You know, anybody, it only got me just get on a plane and come down here. But she'd say, no, I believe I'm going to stay around the house. You know, if anybody meets you, you can put a decree out where they all come from. Then God put a decree out to fill up their heart. Here they come. That old shadow has been running around that big den for a year. Had a big litter of peace. The election shows her. All of a sudden, she just raised up from that mud. Just like one teacher. You'll eat it into hell. You'll destroy your home for such childish foolish, damaging, potentially hazardous words. But why we can put a hurt, ruined, crooked marriage back together if you can get them both to say we have hope. We believe in God. We believe in the good pastor and plenty of prayer and fasting and the peace of God's Lord who can have a good home and a high place in God. You got to believe. You got to believe. You got to believe. You got to believe. Jesus, I've got to sit out of here. That puts me up there now. I don't look for work. That's why all those kids that the government said on TV put them up there. That's putting me up there. I'm putting out of here. Get that order. And they're coming. Let's do that. Let's believe God in here. Let's accept the promise. We're in the right. I feel like a man who smokes cigarettes preaching against smoking. I'm telling you that, people. But I'm the last guy around who said anything about the sex. I just said it where it went when I wouldn't want that. But I do believe God's word. Whether my experience confirms what the word says is not immaterial, the word's still right. I can't judge the word of God on my experience. I believe any man ought to. I wouldn't let every man be a lot. I let God be true. Praise God. All right, let's see here. Who's got Job 27? We're in all that. Where are we at? Okay, Psalm 37, 4 and 5. That's real mild. Anybody can catch that? Mild. Psalm 37, 4 and 5. Yes, ma'am. You determine what you get. You like your own cat. You take a guy that's in the gutter and sick in his body and down and broke and owes everybody and drunk. You know why is that way you like that? You know a guy's got trouble in his church everywhere he passes. You know why he likes that? You know the guy that don't have a Holy Ghost in sweat, prayer 22 years, he don't think so. I'm not asking to believe that, just thinking what I believe to be true. But I think that's right. Okay, read it again.
Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart.
Somebody said, I just knew what God's will was. Oh, I've been praying 4 years for the will of God. Go do what you want to do, and you'll come off of here doing the will of God. If you say you're better so, if you fast, if you're obedient, if you're consistent with truth and holiness and godliness, if you're an unselfish man, if you know God's will, you go do what you want to do. When I first started my last evangelistic ministry, I preached for Herbert Phillips to High Island one evening, one time, and right next to Christmas. And I've been preaching 2 weeks, and I hadn't found the pattern for my new ministry yet, which eventually evolved into many weeks of long harvest. I didn't know what to do. I just followed God. And it was Sunday afternoon, and 2 weeks, near Christmas, and so we set the decisions up to you when we had a revival next week or not. I was out there just praying. I hear a voice, but I believe God speaks to me. So was it Christmas? The saints are praying the revival will close. The pastor couldn't be a better, nicer guy to work for in Herbert Phillips in the world. And God's a blessing. I said, well, sure, we're carrying on. See, now I can just hear the Lord some thanks that night. You know, a fellow always uses brains to jump inside the doorstop. And that, right? Earl Nightingale said that if a machine, even in a computerized, transistorized age, when you make little bitty stuff, you know, just terribly small, he said that if you made a machine capable of doing what the normal human being
brain to do, that you'd have to have a building that spanned 15 acres and be 100 feet high. How about that? We made just a little bit wrong. We really can be so close to God. We really can enjoy His divine fellowship so thoroughly, so tenderly, so vividly, so really. Angels do. They don't see God once a year like tax collectors. They see Him all the time. They're with Him. They walk with Him. And I believe that the angels who die ought to look into this now. They just know it is preferable to what they have. I don't believe that living this life is merely walking by through. Also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of your heart. Wait just a minute. A gift can be nearly meaningless if it's not suitable. I could give Brother John Day the past quad A shoes that cost $190 from Fifth Avenue. And if you were courteous and looked at the mirror in my eyes and patted me on the head, you'd say, "You see the mirror in my eyes, you know what to do. You know where else this quality is." But if I were a gentleman, I would have said, "What?" But it wouldn't need to cost $190 for him to read me like that. It was a modest, good, decent pair of preacher shoes, and they ain't all that way, sir. But if it was a pair of shoes suitable for a man standing in the stead of Christ Jesus, I imagine he would thank me much more for a pair of $60 shoes that were commodious, that were convenient, that were, what was it, what I said, what was it? Suitable. Yeah, fit. He would enjoy much more $60 pair of shoes than $190 that would have fit what he called him. And so God said that He will give you the desires of your heart. God knows what they turn you on. God knows what they picture. Send you home this weekend, you have such glorious visitation to God that you flip your head. God knows what you want. God knows the people in your community that would turn you on. God would love to excite you and thrill you and encourage you with the glorious power of God by giving you your heart's desire. But you got to believe. And that's not in your heart. See, there's a lot of stuff we could be enjoying if we just believed God. We're living far beneath our city. Okay, let me see if I can pass through this. Give me Proverbs 8:29. I still haven't got, I'm just guilty I haven't got over the point. I'm going to have a shaft right there, but I haven't got the glue back yet. Pray that it is here. Pray to God. Okay?
When He gave to the sea His decree,
when He gave to the sea His decree,
that the waters did not pass through the land.
When God built the levee around the world, around the sea.
When He appointed the foundations of the earth.
When God took the boat on it and built an 18-foot levee and paved it on top. He just said, "Hey, Pacific, watch here." Don't you go no further south.
That's all right.
I'm no bulldozer on the job that day, no things to stop with. Thank you. God just said he prescribed the land. You know what a lawyer picture the deed to a place, he described the property. He don't have to go out there with a salt line and pop it off and this is going that way. He just types it out on the top. Right at the beginning, at a certain point, you go northeast, 962.5 feet cent. To the south, you know, all that stuff. He describes it by meets and bounds. It's all on paper. as far as you're concerned, you can go out there in the night or in the day and say, I'm on my property, and now I'm just about to be on the right way. Let me see. That's his election, you can say, my brother. It's just decreed, and God decreed the limits of the sea. The sea is mighty, but the sea respects the decree. And let me tell you, if there's a sickness in your body, or if there's a distress in your home, or if there's an old root problem in your church, or if there's a deeply embedded sin or fault among the saints of God, let me tell you, brother, go ahead and put the decree out, and when the waters get there, they'll stop, make a little foam, and go back home. Yes. Yes, sir. If in your own heart you believe in nothing can doubt that, then there's nothing around that can drown you in the suggestion. I can just see one of them old times that never had cried at him. And he'd come up there and say, I want to have a little phone out of Brother Adam. I'm going to hear the prophet's look. I'm going to say, you get too much time. I don't think he'd call for the rescue unit or the CTA or nobody else. I mean, ACP, I wouldn't call for nobody. I believe he'd just say, what did you say? He was master! You know, there's lots of fine young preachers and their wives get home after church and worry and just slap dead to death about what them fellows in the back of the building are talking about. They just know they're talking about trying to get a coalition again. If they're back there talking in my church, you know what they're going to do? They're praying the word get me a microwave of them. All right, start from here, son. That's going to get out there. Brother KLVI broadcasts the news and tells us the temperature is 31 degrees. If the man says he's KLVI when he gets out the orange, the man's going to hit 31 degrees. And the way you react in your own heart, if you're scared of people, they'll drive you out of your mind.
Come
on, all right. Come on, all right. Oh, there was a fine old man nearby us some years ago. God bless his name when he's dead now, and all his rewards, and he loved God. He went down to Hammond RV deal one time, bought C3 and an RV-22 speaker, brought that, put it out. And when he got there, some of them guys were saying, is this the man making me smoke them? No. Is you? No, I don't know. And about that time, that old red-headed preacher walked up and I said, and when did you have your deacon's meeting on that? He said, I didn't have no deacon's meeting. He said, do y'all want one? I said, yes. He said, let's have it right now. And he marched him up there in the front. And one fellow sits and talks and said, preach, you shut up. You know what I know about you, what I say is you from? You know you still got your wife, too. Yes, sir, brother. Ain't no need to get all up there. Lay it to rule is up. It never was in. It's just merely the figment of an imagination of self dedicated to God. All that business. A lot of long-term women getting together on a committee and saying what you can buy and what you don't have. I believe that a pastor ought to control. He ought to have the management. He ought to have the rules. I believe he should offer the leadership. He ought to be the solution and not the problem. And he has dominion. I believe he's got the leadership and the oversight God Almighty gave him to do that. I like what John S. Gilman said. You can't beat one down. He said, you preachers, you worry me to death. He said, you act so slowly and you get such a little nerve. He said, for me, he said, we don't run things that way at my house. He said, when I go buy a car, I just drive it up. Sister Gilman comes out there and says, well, Papa, it's good. We remodeled our sanctuary a little while back, and I prayed and sought the Lord, and I wanted to
to be honorable and decent. And above all, if you don't know, you guys get no tails out on that, what a hard hand I'm using. But if I didn't leave it with an iron hand, one of them would. And I believe I'm better qualified than any of them are. And I sure would hate to meet God Almighty with my tail cut between my legs. Not me being a king. It'd be better for me to have a robe and crown on when I met God. Sit off behind the doorstep, digging me a hole, and say, "Who? I don't even think it on." So I told him, I said, "Now, you know, our people are rich. I don't mean to be bragging about it, but they are such a decent job with this. Bill Francis did a marvelous job with this. And I thank God for it." So when we got ready to remodel, we had to buy all new carpets, $1,000 worth. I said, "Now, you know, if I were to appoint two or three of the most dedicated of you folks to choose the carpet, you might not choose what everybody in the church wanted. In fact, there wouldn't hardly be any chance that you could please everybody. And if you did choose it, I know what you chose would be an excellent choice. To have that confidence in any three of you could do it. But you might not be able to take it next, the criticism that people might give you." But I said, "My neck is hard enough, so I said, what I'll do, I'll just use your carpet and have it installed. And when you come in, nobody in the church is going to wipe it off." And they laughed just about like you did, and that's exactly what I did. I went and bought some turkey snout red and put it in, and when they came in, I stood by the door to enjoy their response and also to watch. And they came in and said, "Oh!" And and then said, "Oh!" That's being hard-headed. I don't believe that's being selfish. I believe that's avoiding trouble in the church. I believe that's keeping people from getting exalted that don't need to be exalted. They know that we care for them. Boy, I like what Chris said here the other day. You love a church and stay with me. Yes, they do, right? Yeah. Now, brother, I'm going to close. It's time to close almost. I'm going to get off of this and tell you that. I brought a little booklet in Atlanta, Georgia, Monday afternoon as I flew through. Had a little short layover, and I've been putting up this bicentennial thing. That just kind of, you know, got more. I like all that old time junk English. So I came by a little booklet stand, and it said, "Early American Civilization." And I read, picked right up and pumped up $1.95 plus tax and bought it. I read in there that he that would sell a blind horse, pray he could see. Sit down, Eric. I'm busy. Isn't that good? Whew. "He that would sell a blind horse praises his feet." I've been selling a lot of stuff lately. I've been selling out of farm equipment. And I've been in the position of the seller, and I read another one who said, "The buyer needs 1,000 eyes, the seller one." You unusually intelligent guys always found out where I'm going. And I won't slip up on them. A seller of a blind horse will praise his feet. And the tail man appeared next. And that boy is next. The blind horse won't serve you well. I don't own a blind horse. Feet are important to a horse, isn't it? You know, in our day, we've forgotten all about horses. But, mister, that used to be the way you made dresses for your little girls back. That used to be the way you put shoes on your boy's feet. It was the labor of the horse. That used to be the way you get that doctor if somebody has a appendicitis attack when you live on a farm and a fast little man is going to sell. You forgot all that. But early Americana, they said that he that would sell a blind horse praises his feet. There's lots of praise going on these days. High, exciting, hilarious praise about what they're doing yonder, what they're doing here. But while you listen to that
put your hat in front of you.
All right,
you
can tell.
I think you can buy a set of horseshoes for $9. But you can't hardly have an operation on a horse for $9 to give her eyes. Put contacts on her to try to make her look. Throw them over the radio and the oral. Just got it out? Okay. All that glitters must be not gold. Fellas, there's some things that look jam up, very tight, exciting in this world, but you better look to see if that's what you want. I don't want nothing for him that's going to put the government of the church in the hands of laymen. I don't want nothing that can get to me where four or five men can sign a petition and take somebody down the road never did like my high stuff. I'm jealous because of my ministry and my results and my success. And then come in a few minutes, raise more devil than I can put out in 5 more years of dedicated ministry. I just don't like blind. But they got pretty feet. And slick, and they said that stuff that's what's called a wheat germ for. Boy, I make them look slick and dirty. I just don't want nothing, friend, that will keep me from governing the decisions that my people make. I am responsible to get them through that gate. I'm going to push, I'm going to pull, I'm going to tag, I'm going to twist arms, I'm going to pinch, I'm going to yell, I'm going to coerce, I'm going to persuade, I'm going to teach, I'm going to do everything I can to get every man, every woman, every youngster, and every youth I've got through that door. When I get through, I'm going to look like a rag. And if I'm not utterly, totally exhausted when I push my last shank through that door, I ain't doing right. Because I've got to serve him with all my might. But hang me now. If I'm going to go stick my neck in a noose that I know is going to come between me pushing my convictions and what I know. That little evangelist came to me. I'm going to quit on time. He can't quit. He came to me and the little bird sent him and he was I wish all of you knew him. He's such a splendid, beautiful soul, just a child. We came the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. But we used him as long as we felt led, and you know, I just got the passion in church. I can't help who was there on Sunday morning or there. I've got a view. And there was one of them days that Joe Duke said, "My God, that's mighty power, that Holy Ghost got on me." Well, that's what happened to me that morning. Do you remember seeing that? God bless his good memory, don't you, buddy? Oh, Neil got the Holy Ghost, boys, and for a solid year, hadn't messed with it. That's those big boys. God Almighty, I'm pastor. I don't make king out of it, boy. Just see what you say. Brother, I'm telling you, God, last night, him and my boy and another one went to the church and just prayed till they fell out drunk. My whole boy. And me, or you? Yeah, boy. I'm telling you that God killed me. Boy, I'm a loving my boy. He's a growing in grace and power and Holy Ghost. He's making me a hand, boy. But I was, excuse me for bagging on him. He's pretty black. Every old crow is pretty black. He's listening. Well, I just want to tell you this. That if you're going to get in a situation where, well, like this young man, he was in there, I just came down the line. I just literally had to eat some of my boys out. You see? Last 6 weeks, I got to where they left the hair get out on their collar. Sideburn just a little long. And then last week, three of them, and two of them were mad, boy. Went and got a razor shave at the end of it. Now, we did that with depression when there were four of us boys and four of us girls, and Dad worked on extra boys at the center. You know, it was a matter of a crock butter bowl over your head. We done that to save money, boys. And Mama took the safety razor and just, But these boys that make $9.75 an hour, they don't need a butter bowl treatment. They just went down there because the guy selling clothes over at Davis was doing it. And I said, "Now look, boys, I'm just telling you, I called by name. That's the first time I've done that in 30 years, Pastor." And I said, I couldn't use you in the trio this morning. I couldn't use you to lead song. I'm just telling you that I can't stand it. Put your hair cut, stand it up to edge, just like we've always done it in Selma. We're going to keep it that way. We're not going to change. We're not going to change that shoe size. But now, what I want to tell you is this. The young evangelist was sitting there after lunch. He said, well, if people were out there, if a preacher had done that, they would have had him.